word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Sister Teresa, a very gentle, humble Franciscan sister who became a good spiritual friend of mine, once said to me, "You know, Irene, you must always take particular notice of God's and of Christians, as you see them recorded in the Bible." Asking a question demands engagement, promotes thinking, and draws out a considered response. This morning's gospel account tells how Jesus posed two questions to his disciples. The first one, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the second one, "Who do you say that I am?" When you think about it, every person on this planet must believe something about God. But it can vary a great deal. Even we Christians can believe different things about the one God whom we all worship. Not only that, but our understanding of God can change over our lifetimes. In fact, it should change as we grow on in our faith. But the reasons why this second question is so very important, I think, is because how we answer this question directly affects how we live out our faith and how we live out our lives. For example, if you believe that God is like a divine scorekeeper, keeping track of all of your good deeds and all of your sins, then you'll probably be very tentative in how you live out your life and very careful, won't you? Probably fearfully, trying to do good deeds when you can and trying to avoid sins and hoping they come out ahead at the end. If, on the other hand, you believe that God is an all-accepting and welcoming but rather distant and he's waiting rather patiently in heaven for you to get there, you may not really worry about your good deeds and your sins and whether you're pleasing God with your life. But it goes even deeper than that, because what we believe about God affects all sorts of other things, like how we pray. If we believe that God is distant and simply watching events unfold in our world with little participation or influence, then we won't spend a lot of time asking God to change the circumstances in which we find ourselves. What we believe about God matters. If we think of God as a stern judge, we might also avoid prayer, but for a different reason, because we don't dare to ask God for favours. Then again, if we think of God as a loving parent, we will turn to God when we need help or advice. If we think of God as a friend, we will spend time in conversation with him, just talking about our day. How we pray, in other words, depends very much on what we believe about God. But what we believe about God affects not only our prayer life, but it also affects how we face trials in our life. So what we believe about God matters more than anything else in life. And that's probably why Jesus initiated the conversation in today's gospel reading, because Jesus knew that what the disciples thought of him would affect how they would live their lives going forward. Their theology, which is understanding, thinking of God, mattered. It mattered then, and it matters now. So Jesus sat the disciples down and had a theological conversation with them. It was almost like a half-term test, really, after they'd been with him for so long. Let's see how you're going on. He first asked them a fairly easy question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, some say John the Baptist, they answered. Others Elijah. Still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That seems like a pretty easy question, because they're just sharing what they hear rather than what they believe. This wouldn't be a difficult question for any of us to answer, or anyone else for that matter. But then Jesus asked his disciples the harder question, the more important question, who do you say that I am? Now, we might think of this as an easy question too. Those who perhaps have been to Sunday school might be able to give the pat answer. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. We may have heard that many times before. But Jesus wants more than that, I believe, than the pat Sunday school answer. Jesus wants us to answer this question, not only with our head, but with our heart too, with our soul and with our life. Who do you say that Jesus is? If Jesus himself were to ask you that question, how would you answer it? And is your life reflecting that answer? What do you believe about God, really? What do you believe about Jesus? The answer will set the course of our lives. It matters more than anything else in this world. But there is one more piece of this question that I think is very important to think of today. I mean that this question demands an answer not just in a classroom, but in a hospital room. Not just in our homes, but in funeral homes. Not just on Sunday morning, but during those nights when we struggle to sleep. This question demands an answer, not just when life is going well, but when life is falling apart. That is when theology's rubber hits the road, so to speak. That's when it really matters. That's when what we truly believe about God matters. That's when our faith is tested, and when the answer is not just words, but when it is life. Theology, or how we think of God, is more important there and then than it is in any classroom situation. In view of the world situation, it's clearly a time for all of us to think about this question again and answer it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a time for us to struggle again with who we believe God is and who we believe Jesus is. It's a time to wrestle with what we believe God is doing in our world today and with what we are being called to be doing in our world today as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is one last piece of this whole question that's vitally important. If we go back to Peter's answer to Jesus' question again. After Peter answered that question, Jesus blessed him and told him that he would build his church on Peter, on the rock, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And you know, this is the very first time that Jesus uses the word church in the Gospels. I think that's rather significant. Peter's answer becomes the foundation of the church. Jesus promises to build his church on the rock foundation of Peter's faith. Jesus connects Peter's answer about who he believes Jesus is to his promise to build his church. And that connection is very significant. I think Jesus is trying to remind us here that we will never get our Christian thinking right outside of the church community. We need the community of faith that Jesus founded. But more generally, Jesus knows that we won't be able to confess our faith in him correctly and consistently if we're not active in a church family. Believing all of this is simply too difficult to do alone, especially when the storms hit. We need each other. We need our fellow believers. And Jesus knows it, which is why he spends so much of his ministry building community and why he founded the church. The church may not be perfect. No congregation ever is. But it is Jesus' plan for the world. He began the church to share the gospel with all the world and to bring healing and hope and peace and justice and love in his name to the ends of the earth. And he promises that as we do this, nothing will prevail against his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Jesus. And nothing will prevail against the church that Jesus founded. And that's a Christian thinking that offers us a sure foundation. one that we can build a life of hope and meaning upon, one that can survive the storms and the trials that this life inevitably throws at us. What we believe about God matters more than anything else in this world. And there's no more important time to wrestle with this than right now. In the midst of all that we're going through in our world today, we confess once again our faith and our trust in Jesus, believing with all our heart, soul, mind and strength that he is the Saviour of our world, the Son of the living God, the one who promises to calm our every storm, who offers us a peace that passes all understanding, who is eager to hear our every prayer, and who assures us that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. That is who Jesus is. Thanks be to God. Amen.